The text this morning is the Old Testament reading in Genesis 3. I am going to take you, I need to give you three verses again, I think, to get the gist, starting at verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." This is our text. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I know that you're going to find this a little hard to believe, but I was thinking about what Adam and Eve had done here, and I realized that people often poison themselves. You know, it seems a little silly, honestly, to think about it that way, but, you know, it happens by accident. That's pretty common enough all by itself, but aside from that, people poison themselves constantly on purpose. Knowing full well the damage that can happen. I can give you some examples. You've probably heard about how enormously difficult the drug problem is in this country right now. I imagine it's worse than some other places, but people take drugs that are illegal, and some of them are legal drugs, but they're taking them illegally, and they're hurting themselves constantly, and, you know, they get addicted, and it goes downhill from there in a nasty circle, and they know what they're doing. Or at least they start out knowing what they're doing, and it just doesn't go well because they're poisoning themselves. And, you know, there's other stuff, cigarettes and unhealthy food and a lot of other things that we do that are just dumb. Ultimately, what I'm trying to say is there is temptation to these things for varying reasons to do them because there's some positive aspect to it that, you know, at least it seems to us. And we do it on purpose, and even if we know that stuff is deadly, then we take chances anyway. Because people are strange that way. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because that's exactly what happened there in Eden. The command wasn't complicated. Don't eat from that tree. Don't eat the fruit of that tree. The tree is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which doesn't sound like any big bad thing, but God said don't eat that. It's not complicated. It's actually relatively simple. And it's the only command that they got that way. So then you get the snake that wanders into the neighborhood. Did he really say that? You're not really going to die. And then, you know, off we go with temptation. And the reason is, I mean, Eve was looking at this tree, and she hears, "You will be like God, knowing good and evil." And then the tree is looking good to her, like it would be pleasant to eat the stuff that's there. And then there's a couple of words that are sneaky in here. It talks about... how to put it, that it was a delight to the eyes. The word that's there isn't exactly delight. You would know that word as lust to the eyes. And then the next thing it says is that the tree was to be desired, to make one wise. Well, that word that's there is exactly the same one in the Ten Commandments, is don't covet. That word is the one that's there, coveting the thing to be wise. It's just not like those things are foreign to us. Lust and coveting are things that come up sinful every time. That's the temptation, so she eats. I always find it sort of interesting that it says that Adam was there with her. It says that rather literally. And I wonder why he wasn't saying anything. And, of course, the curse comes out that you listened to your wife. What a dope. Anybody who's been married listens to their wife unless they're stupid. But that's what it says, right? And so he's standing there, you know, and they were told they will surely die, right? And Adam's sitting there and says, "Well, I guess you can have some." I'm just going to watch and see if she drops dead, and then I'll know whether that was true or not. I mean, that's what it sort of feels like. It's not like he didn't know what God said, and it wasn't like, you could imagine the incredible badness of that. But there he stands, and she doesn't drop dead. So he says, okay, I'll have some too. It's nutsy. It's poison. Unto death. On purpose. That's what's going on here. Didn't anybody notice that the snake was lying? Did anybody not know that God was watching? That he knows all things? That he saw what the snake said? Snake apparently didn't mind, as he knew God as well as anybody ever has. And the two people that are there, human beings and dopes that they are, they didn't notice that God was going to be knowing about this stuff, and that they're poisoning themselves, and that, you know, so out of all of this comes mistrust of the command of God, the lies from the snake right in front of God and everybody. Everybody wasn't a lot of people at the moment, but you understand what I mean. And then the desires of the flesh that she has, and then comes disobedience, and then there's sin and death. Like nobody should have known that was coming, because that's what God said was coming. Don't eat or you're going to die. Now, they didn't die right there on the spot, though. They probably should have. I mean, this is one of those notions of the mercy of God, I suppose. Honestly, it doesn't seem all that clever. You know, it says that the serpent was more crafty than anything else. Well, I mean, as animals go, maybe. But this isn't complicated. This isn't clever. It isn't sneaky or sly. It's just God said this, and the snake said, no, he didn't. And she said, okay, fine, I believe you. God said, don't. Snake said, do. And they did. It's not complicated. It's not sneaky or sly at all. Sometimes we just sin in ignorance, I suppose. I mean, that's true enough. We didn't know God said you're not supposed to do that, or we couldn't analyze it enough to make sense of it, to understand that we're breaking the rules. Okay, that happens. But this isn't one of those times. And all too often we heard it just fine. Don't do that. Do this. We understand what God wants from us because we've heard it plenty. And something got to be more important than what God said. And as it turns out, we can be pretty narrow-minded on occasion. Because, you know, when you're thinking of sinning, you can easily say, well, it isn't really sin. I mean, you can say that to yourself and believe yourself, because we're like that. Or the other thing is, well, God's not looking. Or, I mean, you don't actually say that to yourself, but you act like he's not looking. So you can just do whatever because you feel like it's the thing to do right now. Because he's not right there looking. So you do have desires in your earthly body, in this existence that you have, so whether it's for happiness or for comfort or for safety or for some kind of pleasure, you have all of those desires in you. And if those happen to cross over what God said that you're supposed to do or not supposed to do, and he's not right there looking so where you can see him, it's not so much whether he's looking or not, because he's always looking. But if you are not thinking about him, then he's not there, and off you go. And then your other side of it, sometimes negative things get you to sin too. If there's fear of loss, or fear of danger, or fear of pain, then a lot of times we will specifically do what we have to do to avoid those things, even if it's going to include sinning, if God's not right there looking and telling you don't do that. And we do that to ourselves all the time. I know you know that this is true. Temptation is very strong sometimes. And often enough, it doesn't even have to be, because you just kind of want to do something. That's what happens to us. And the stronger that temptation is, the more likely it is that you're going to sin. And then, of course, from that poison comes death and hellfire. And it's not like I didn't tell you. It's not like God didn't say that's where it goes, and you ate the poison anyway. We do it every day, many, many times, constantly. God said you will surely die. It's a rather strange moment for God to say it exactly like that, but he does. You will surely die. And so it was. Now, they lived a long, long time after this. I think God had his other plans in motion there, so he needed them to live for a long time. But they did, in fact, die. And the other things started to die, according to the curse. And this is true to this day. Because we have inherited this strangeness in our humanity that desires to sin. And so we do. And I think it's a safe bet to say, like Scripture says, that you cannot stop doing it. You are a sinner and you do sin. Now, the other curses are here as well. It's not just death that happens, but all these other things too, because they didn't do what they were supposed to do, then there are consequences here. So one of them being that Adam is going to have to work really hard, and it's going to be painful. The garden's not just going to come up roses when he needs roses. It's going to come up and be thistles and thorns, which is going to be difficult. And out of that, he's going to have to figure out how to get what he needs to eat. It's going to be hard labor. And to the young lady who's there with him, Eve, childbirth is going to be tough. I mean, it was tough, right? Yeah. This is the part where it confuses me, and somehow or other women still do it again. I don't understand that entirely, but I think it's connected to the rest of this thing, this curse, where the man will lord it over her, and she will desire him, and then, you know, there's the babies come. And it's hard. So marriages are going to be awkward too because of this. Because, I mean, who actually wants to be in charge of the family? I think the only ones that really want that are the kids. And right, I mean, you know, it's true. The dads don't want to be in charge of anything. You probably noticed that too. Because it's hard to be in charge. It's hard to be responsible. It's hard to take care. It's hard to make the rules and make it work. It's hard to be in lordship over anything and still care for what you're lordship over. And of course, you know, how often does a wife want to be submitting to her husband? We're all dopes. I mean, everybody knows that too. It's not complicated. We're sinners. We make a lot of mistakes and we don't necessarily know what we're doing. So, I mean, you know, he doesn't want to be in charge and she doesn't want him to be in charge either. I mean, that's normal. It's because of this. And under all of that, though, oddly enough, there is a promise. Now, you don't often think of this cursing stuff as promise, but it's in there. You have to look a little bit. But as God cursed the snake, who is, as we understand it from Scripture, Satan, one of the things he did is he promised there would be offspring. Because, you know, when you start talking about death, you don't think about babies right this minute. I mean, they were always supposed to make babies. That was one of the things that God told them to do. But they probably weren't thinking about it a whole lot when they found out they were going to die. But there's God saying there's going to be offspring, and it's going to be at enmity with the offspring of whatever the snake comes up with. But there would be children. And life would go on even in the face of death. So Adam calls her Eve, because I guess he didn't really call her anything before that. who, you know, it's another one of those problems after you get a curse that you got to call her something, right? So he calls her Eve, which literally means living. That's what that name means. And he says it's because she would be the mother of all the living, which tells me that there's going to be some of the living. And one of them, it says, would come and crush the Satan's head. But he's going to take a hit himself. He would be wounded. And that is a very small, little, tiny first inkling of what Jesus is going to do. Because, you know, we don't think about it exactly, but Jesus came from Eve. All of us did. She's the mother of all the living, and so we come from her, and Jesus comes from her, and he, being one of her offspring, is going to destroy Satan's power. And in the end, he's going to put Satan away where he can't bother anybody anymore because he'll be too busy burning. And that's all here in this little curse. Promise is under there too. It's not going to be easy. That's part of the curse too. But so you have all of this happening, but as it turns out, you also know good and evil. Because Adam and Eve didn't know that because they didn't have any evil. Even though I was kind of staring them in the face in the garden there, they didn't know that. They didn't see it coming. But you do. You've seen all kinds of evil and suffering. And it's not always totally clear to you what's good and what isn't. But you understand what the basics there. And the same thing in the other direction. You've all seen all kinds of joy and love and goodness. So you can stand those two things next to each other and know good and evil. Still, you can't hide the truth from God. He knows your sin. He knows your death. And in all of your failed temptations, meaning that you fell to them, that you deserve hellfire. He knows that too. It's part of our existence, part of the curse. Yet he sent his own son, the offspring of Eve, to take the full wrath of all of your disobedience on himself. So all of sin has been removed. All of death has been overcome. And hellfire is never going to see you. That has come from all of this. At the same time as the curse comes the glory of the promise. All of this to save you. Now, there's one thing in here that really caught my eye, which I find kind of interesting. I was listening to a guy on the radio, which, you know, I do that sometimes when I get bored in the car. And he was talking about this very thing. And he was looking at what the serpent said to Eve. That you would be like God. If you eat this fruit, you'll be like God and know good and evil. So she was tempted to be like God. That was one of the things that was going on there. But, you know, it's interesting to me. He said this other thing, which was kind of stunning. You're already made in the image of God. You're already like God. So, you know, the temptation is to be like God, except you're already like God. If anything, the temptation to be like God makes you not like God. It breaks the image of God. It causes you to be sinful and unholy and undeserving of eternal life. That's what you become because you want to be like God. But he already gave it to you. So they took poison to be what they already were. And it made them not be that anymore. This is a stunning foolishness that is in us. How wretched we are to fall to such temptations. How sinful. How naked in our shame. Because God sees and knows. But also we have to say thanks be to God, because He didn't leave it this way. He gave us this promise. He told Eve already that there would be one that will come. There will be one that will come to be your salvation. And so He has been here. And all of your shame has been removed. All of it taken to the cross and destroyed there. All of it removed, and in its place comes the promise. In the face of your sin and the temptations that drag you down is resurrection and eternal life and holiness in heaven. That is what remains, because thanks be to God for Jesus who has come, your Savior. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.